All right. What a blessing. What a joy to be here this morning. Amen. I want you to take your Bible this morning and open it up to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. You'd think, hey, preacher, you hadn't preached in a couple of weeks. There ought to be no problem. Man, I have struggled with what to preach. And I had stuff lined up. I thought, well, this will be it. And, man, I just could not get the message put together. And this is, I believe with all my heart, this is a verse that the Lord brought to my mind. And I thought, okay, Lord, I've been trying to preach maybe what I thought I ought to preach, but I want to preach what you want me to preach today. So we're going to try to do that. While you're turning to Philippians chapter 4, for those of you that are here, there are new sword of the Lord's on the table in the foyer, so don't forget to pick one of them up if you would. All right, Philippians chapter 4, look if you will, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate well, or did communicate with my affliction. I want to focus, if I could, this morning on verse 11. Verse 11, where the Bible says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul had something that very few people in our day seem to have. Right. I mean, he had something, and that something is contentment. Amen. Contentment. To say that we are discontented is an absolute understatement. There was a book years ago, I believe the title of it was The Winter of Our Discontent. Well, man, we could title 2020 the year of our discontent, you know? We aren't content with much of anything. Well, we're not content with our situation. Hey, we're not content to wear a mask. We're not content to social distance. We're not content with the lack of anything even remotely resembling normalcy, you know? Amen. We're just not content with that deal. I'm not content to go to a store and they have an arrow on the line, you know, say, this, go this direction. And invariably, I look down and I'm going the wrong direction. And but usually, what I want is right here, and I'm not willing to go all the way around and come back up, you know. So, boy, we're just not content. And could I say this to you? I understand that completely. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I just got over the whole COVID mess, you know. And I've been through it for a week and a half or so. I didn't like anything about it. Amen. Nothing about it. I told my wife, we were sitting there, both of us had it, and I was sitting there with her, and we were just sitting in the chair, and I said, I don't know about you, but I said, I feel guilty sitting here doing nothing. I said, but the problem is, don't feel like doing anything. Not necessarily sick, but just didn't have any energy, you know, and so I know what it's like, but I want us to focus in this morning on this verse, and let's see if we can learn just a few things that might help us with being content. You say, preacher, you think you ought to be content? Yep, I think we ought to be content. Amen. Well, I don't like it, me either, but we ought to be content. Yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. Yeah, I do understand, but we ought to be content. All right, we ought to be content. So how we do it? Well, notice, first thing I want you to see, it needs to be learned. Needs to be learned. Would you notice what Paul said there? He said, for I have learned. For I have learned. Hey, we're not contented creatures by nature. Amen. We're just not. We're not contented. We're always wanting something we don't have. That's true. Or we're always wanting more of what we do have. Amen. I mean, you know, we talk about kids, little kids, you know, you can give a little boy a car, and he'll take one, and he'll take one of every color of the same car.
Oh, yes.
And that's okay. So you've already got one like that, but don't have one that color.
Right.
And you say, well, you've got one exactly like that. No, the stripes on the other side. All right, so it's okay. It's okay. See, we're not content. We don't get to the point where we say, that's enough, and I don't want any more. No, if we don't have it, we think we need it and we want it. If we do have it and we like it, we say, well, I'd like some more of it. And so we're just not happy. But that's what the Bible says here. Paul said it this way. He said, I've learned. Amen. I've learned. Hey, this thing of contentment, a lot of times, it's got to be learned. We just got to learn. And some lessons can be awful painful.
Yes, sir.
Awful painful lessons, you know. And, man, we've got people in the church learn some painful lessons, hard lessons, you know. But those lessons need to be learned. And if that being content, it needs to be learned. And if it takes a painful lesson to get it across, then so be it. The sad thing is some of those lessons, they have to be repeated a lot before we ever learn it. They just got to be over and over and over. We got to have it again and again and again. It's like teaching kids multiplication tables.
Right.
You know, 4 times 7 is 28. 4 times 7 is 28. Now write your multiplication table. Write the 4s. Write them 5 times. And the next day, write them 5 more times. You know, I'm getting tired of writing them. Well, what's 4 times 7? Okay, you got to learn. So,
right.
Hey, you got to repeat the lesson, you know?
Yeah.
Got to repeat the lesson till you learn it. And it's got to be over and over again. And friends, I'll tell you the truth of the matter is when it comes to contentment, sometimes we don't get it on the first lesson.
Amen.
We don't get it on the first lesson. Sometimes that first lesson's painful, but we still don't get it. We're not content. We think, well, I can go back and do that again. I can go back and do it. No, you better not.
Amen.
You need to learn to be content, all right? Need to learn to be content. But the truth of the matter is sometimes the whole problem we have, the reason we have to go and take the lesson over and over and over again is because we're so stinking stubborn. We're just as stubborn as we can be, you know. The stubbornness causes us to be very slow learners.
Amen.
Very slow learners. And so we just have to have it over and over again. Why? Well, we're stubborn. Don't want to learn it. Don't want to learn it. I could tell you about my cousin who his dad one time, he got after him. And my cousin, just a little bitty fella, and I'll never forget hearing my dad tell the story. I don't really remember it, but it's because I was so little too. But my cousin, my uncle told him, you know, not to do something, and he did it. And what he was doing, he came up to a concrete porch, and he was just the right height he could bump his head on that porch. And you'd think, well, that'd hurt. Well, yeah, but stubbornness.
Amen.
His dad told him don't, and he did it. So his dad whooped him, and he said, don't do it, don't do it. Turned him loose. My cousin went right back over there at the same place, bump, bump, his head on that concrete porch.
Amen.
And my uncle took him, wore him out again, and said, don't do it, don't do it. So help him, here he goes back, and he does it again. My dad said, I was feeling sorry for him by that time. But he said, my uncle grabbed him up, just wore him out again. Hey, why? Stubborn.
Amen.
Stubborn.
Yes,
we don't learn lessons too good sometimes because we're so stubborn about what we want and wanting our way and wanting what we want. But Paul said, I've learned. I've learned. Said, I've learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Content. Where in the world does contentment come from? Where does contentment come from? Notice what Paul said. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I believe contentment is a byproduct of satisfaction.
Amen.
Satisfaction. Just learning to be satisfied. Learning to be satisfied. Hey, you said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean satisfied with what you have.
Yep.
Satisfied with what you have. Just here it is. This is what I've got. Learn to be satisfied with it. Our world's filled with people that are never satisfied.
Right.
Never satisfied. We're not happy with what we've got. We're not satisfied. No, that's not what I wanted. I want more of it.
Amen.
There's not enough. or that's not really what I wanted. I wanted something a little different. Just no satisfaction. No satisfaction whatsoever. Now, refuse to be satisfied with what we've got. Just won't do it, you know. Just will not do it. I won't be satisfied. Hey, satisfied with what's been provided. What's been provided? Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am. Yep. What? He was satisfied. He said, I'm satisfied with what I've got. Right. Whatsoever state I'm in. He said, man, maybe what the world would look at and say, it's a good state, happy state. He said, I'm satisfied. It might be in a difficult thing, but he said, I'm happy. I'm content. Why? I learned to be satisfied. Learned to be satisfied. I want to be satisfied with what God's given to me. And you and I are never content as long as we're not satisfied. I think of the Hollywood world, they're never satisfied with their mate very long. It's a rare thing in Hollywood to see a couple that's been married for many, many years. Most of them have swapped out, you know, and it makes all the stupid rags in the Walmart and everywhere where all of them come out and say, man, so-and-so's in love, and here they are and everything, and they're getting married, and 2 years later they've split. Why? Because they're just not satisfied. Right. Not satisfied with what they've got. We keep looking for something else. Keep looking for something else. I just traded vehicles a month ago now. I got rid of my pickup. I've had a pickup for 20 years. And I swapped my pickup off, and so I'm trying to get used to not having a pickup. Well, the car I traded for, I had to take it in and have a little work done on it, and they loaned me a vehicle. Guess what they loaned me? A pickup truck. They loaned me a brand new pickup truck, man. I mean, it has that new smell, you know. Got that new smell, and I was sitting there in that thing driving. I thought to myself, yeah, this is it. They loan you this new one so you'll get that new car smell. I'll never forget Brother Harold. We were talking about buying a bus, and he said, man, ain't nothing like a new vehicle smell, all right? And boy, it's true, you know. But we get in something like that, and then it makes us unhappy and dissatisfied with what we've got.
Right.
Not happy with it anymore. We get in our vehicle and we go, man, it doesn't smell as good.
Right.
It doesn't ride as smooth.
Yeah.
I used to tell people, you're not happy with the ride you've got and the vehicle you have. Said you'd come and ride the tractor we used to have here at church that we used to mow the school property.
Right.
And it'd take you about all day to mow it. I said, you go ride that thing all day long, get off of it, get in your car, and your car suddenly has the best ride around, man. Hey, learn to be satisfied. Satisfied. You see, I believe contentment is a byproduct of satisfaction. But where does satisfaction come from? Where does satisfaction come from? I want you to notice again there in Philippians chapter 4, would you? Look at verse 10. Notice what Paul said. Paul said, I rejoiced in the Lord. I rejoiced in the Lord. Now, you know, we have a tendency when people rejoice and we're kind of on the outs and we're unhappy, we're dissatisfied, we're discontented. And somebody else is over there rejoicing. They say, yeah, but you're not living the good life. Wait a minute. Have you checked out Paul's life?
Come on. Amen.
Checked out Paul's life. When did he ever have what anybody would say, that's the good life? Man, he'd go to a new town. Heard preachers say when Paul go to a new town, he'd go check out the jail first because he figured that's where he'd be before too long, you know. And he knew what it was like to be beaten. He knew what it was like to be stoned, left for dead, and shipwrecked, all that kind of stuff. But this is the one that said there in Philippians 4, verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. You say, where does satisfaction come from? Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. Says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, did you hear that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I think I preached a sermon one time and used Psalm chapter 23, and I said it's the most dishonestly quoted verse in the whole world. Because we say the Lord is my shepherd, but wait a minute, the next part of that verse says, I shall not want. But we're wanters, all right? We do want. You say, where does satisfaction come from? I believe this. I believe it comes from the right relationship with the shepherd. The right relationship with the shepherd. Hey, we talk about being content. Contentment's a byproduct of satisfaction. Wait a minute, where does satisfaction come from? A right relationship with the shepherd. Amen. He knows what's best for the sheep.
Right.
He knows what's best for the sheep. Now, I think I know. And you think you know
right.
What's best for you. But I don't know. You don't know, but God knows.
Amen.
God knows what's best for me. I did not enjoy the last week and a half. Man, I didn't enjoy being at home, being sick. And not feeling well, just kind of feeling, you know, all washed out and tired. And the main thing I really did that was real good, that I was good at the last days, is sleep. I mean, I could sit in my chair and conk out and be there and be happy. But wait a minute. That's not what I wanted to be doing. I wanted to be doing something constructive. But you know what I believe? I believe my shepherd knows what's best for me.
Amen.
And for whatever reason, he said, hey, it's good for you. You need this stuff. You need to have this COVID. Well, it's not my choice. I tried to be careful. You know, I wasn't wild, but God said, no, you need this. You need this. Hey, he knows what's best for me. He knows what's best. And not only does he know what's best, but he provides what's best. He provides what's best for the sheep. My friend, he'll provide what's best for you, too. He provides it. We could go there. Take your Bible over to Psalm 23, would you? The 23rd Psalm, and let's just read down through it. It's a familiar chapter, familiar psalm, but sometimes, you know, it's those familiar things we kind of need to be reminded about. Here's what the psalmist David said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I think about kids. I think about children, little kids. Little kids don't like to take a nap. They don't like to take a nap. You have to make them lie down. You have to make them be still. But if you don't, and they don't take that nap, they're unhappy. They're cranky. They're hard to get along with.
Amen.
They're not happy. But if you'll make them lie down, it's good for them.
Right.
The Bible said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's what the Lord does. Why? He knows what's best for me. He provides what's best for me. He leads his sheep. Hey, folks, that's me and you if you're a child of God. He leads us. And it's his desire to lead us in the best place. And when it's time for us to rest, he makes us lie down.
Amen.
Hey, if you need that good, cool drink of water, he leads me beside the still waters.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the place is there. It's perfect. It's perfect. Why? Because he knows what's best for me. I don't always know what's best. I know what I want. I know what I'd like to have. Oh, but my goodness. Here's the shepherd. He cares for the sheep.
Amen.
Cares for the sheep. You can preach a whole series of messages on the relationship of the shepherd with the sheep. Man, you study that thing out. There's so much there. And I'm not trying to preach all of that this morning, but I'm trying to talk to you about contentment. And I believe contentment is a byproduct of satisfaction. Satisfaction comes about why? Because we got the right relationship with the shepherd. And that's where contentment, it goes back to that. When we have the right relationship with the shepherd, knowing that he cares for us, you'll let him do all that he needs to do, and you'll not fight him over it. But here we are. Here we are, the sheep. Sometimes we don't want to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes we don't want to be led by the still waters. We don't want to be led in those paths of righteousness. Hey, we just don't want any part of it. We want to do our thing. But what happens? We're discontented. We're discontented. We're not happy. We're not happy. No contentment. Man, we're constantly looking for something else. We're constantly saying, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Man, I mean, what is it? What do you need to be content today? What do you need? Some people are not content today because they're following the wrong shepherd. They're following the wrong shepherd. You're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one in the Gospel of John said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Some of you aren't content this morning. Why? You're just following the wrong shepherd. Just following the wrong. You quit following the Lord. You quit following him, and you're chasing after somebody else now. Somebody else has attracted your attention. Somebody else has distracted you. And you're following the wrong shepherd this morning. There's no contentment. There's no satisfaction. There's no joy. Why? Wrong shepherd. Wrong shepherd. Some of you this morning are not content because you keep wandering away from the shepherd. Keep wandering away from the shepherd. Oh, he's here, but we keep wandering away. We keep looking somewhere else. You know, it's like us. We sit here and we look over there. I just want to be. No, I want you right here. Okay. Yeah, but look how good it looks away. I want you right here.
Come on.
Yeah. Okay, but we're still looking. Why? We wander away. We wander away. We get our eyes off of the Lord. It's like driving a car. People have wrecks because they're not paying attention to what they're doing. They get distracted. Instead of looking ahead and watching other traffic, they're over yonder. Well, look at there. That's why the easiest place to have an accident is where there is an accident. Because we drive by that accident and we think, what's happened? How bad's the car tore up? Is that anybody I know? We look up and all of a sudden we find out we just got in the trunk of the car in front of us. Why? Because we're not looking. We're not paying attention. Hey, that's what happens to God's people. We're not content. Why? We get distracted. We wander away from the shepherd. We wander away. He says, here's where I want you to lie down. Here's a green pasture. You'll be content here. This will take care of your needs. And he looks away for a moment, and we get up and wander off.
Right.
We get up and wander off. Because we think looks better over yonder. Looks better over there. No, this is the place. It's where God has you. This is the place where God wants you. This is the place where the Lord has put you. Hey, stay there. Quit wandering away. Quit wandering away. Listen, some people are not content today. Why? Following the wrong shepherd. Some are not content today because you keep wandering away from the shepherd. But some of you are not content this morning because you just don't know the shepherd. You don't know him. You've never come to know him. He's a stranger to you. You've never taken him as your Savior. He's not your shepherd. The Lord said, my sheep know my voice. You don't know that voice because you've never come to him by faith. Never put your faith and your trust in him. So this morning, no, you're not content. Why? Because he's not your shepherd. You don't know him. Hey, listen, if you knew him, it'd be different. It'd be different. But if you don't know him, you need to get acquainted with him. You need to come to him by faith.
Amen.
You need to call upon him, ask him to save your soul. You need to trust him today as your personal Savior. A contentment is available. Contentment ought to mark the child of God. Hey, you know what? You ought to be able to be content in a bear market or a bull market. Now, I'm not sure what the difference is, but I've heard of a bear market and a bull market, and I know they're kind of opposites. Well, you know what? If you're what you ought to be, you got the right relationship with the Savior, you ought to be able to be content in a bear market or a bull market.
Right.
Hey, if it's a depression or a recession, you ought to be able to be content. If it's boom, you ought to be content.
Right.
Boom time. If it's bust,
yep.
Be content. Be content. Hey, if it's a pandemic, an epidemic, or no demic, all right? Of any kind, there ought to be contentment. There ought to be contentment. Why, preacher? Because you've got the right relationship with the shepherd. You're looking to him. And when he says, come follow me, we said, I'm here. I'm here. I remember going on tours. And where you have a guide that takes you around and talks about things and shows you stuff. If there's a guide, and I've always wanted to be right there with the guide because I wanted to hear everything the guide said. I didn't want to miss something. I'm not one of those that was lagging around at the end. You know, the guide said, all right, let's go here. Let's go.
Right.
I want to hear what you got to say. I want to be there. Oh, my, how much more I want to have the right relationship with that good shepherd. How much more it is I want to know him, to be right there with him, to be in fellowship with him. And when he says, here's the place for you to lay down, I want to lay down right there. And if this is where I want to lead you, I want to go with him. I want to be with him. God, help us not to be wandering off. God, help us not to lose focus. Why? Because we want to be content. How does that come about? Well, it's a byproduct of satisfaction. And satisfaction comes from a right relationship with the shepherd. Can I ask you something this morning? Are you content? We used to sing a chorus in Sunday school. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. That was it, you know. We'll trust in Jesus, come weal or woe. Are we downhearted? Not since we started. No, no, no. The truth of the matter is there's so many of God's people today, though, in the midst of troubles and trials, and if they were honest and they were, are we downhearted, it'd be, we sure are. The world's caving in on me.
Yeah.
Hey, can I say this to you? Go back to the right relationship with the shepherd.
Amen.
Get that relationship right. Have you been born again? If you've been born again, you know him.
Right.
If you haven't been born again, you need to trust him as your Savior. You need to, by faith, to call upon him and say, Lord, save my soul. Save me. And then establish that right relationship with him. Get as close to him as you can and stay as close to him as you can. When you find yourself wandering off, well, wander back, all right? Pull it back in line. Why? So you can have that satisfaction. And if you're satisfied, you can be content. Hey, I'm not looking always somewhere else. But Lord, I'm looking to you. You got anything else for me? If you've got it, then I want it. But Lord, if it's not for me, then help me be satisfied right here. Help me to be satisfied right here. Content. Here's what Paul said. Notice again there in Philippians, he said, for I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith, to be content.
Amen.
Are you content this morning? Are you content the way it is, the way things are? Just be content. I didn't mean God can't change it, and he will. But don't you try to figure it out. Let him take care of it. Let him take care of it. How's your relationship with him this morning? Man, do you need to just come to the Lord and get with him? Maybe get on your knees before the Lord and do business with him. Maybe there's sin needs to be confessed, because sin always gets between you and God. Maybe there's sin needs to be confessed. Then confess it. Confess it. But come to him. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness. Lord, I've messed up. Help me. Forgive me. Forgive me. God, help us to rejoice in the Lord greatly. Learn to be content. Learn to be content. Hey, it's not the way I want it right now, but I'm going to be content right now with the way it is. With the way it is. How about you? I hope you will. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you today for your blessing and goodness. Lord, the truth of the matter is, in the midst of all of our troubles, all of our problems, you've been good. You've been good. Lord, what we've got, we don't deserve. It's because of the goodness of God. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us to be people that would be able to learn to be content. As Paul said, in whatsoever state I am, to be content. And Lord, would you help us there? Help us there. Help us to love you. Help us to serve you. Help us to keep that right relationship with our shepherd, so we can be satisfied and be content with what we have. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Boy, what a joy to be in service with God today. Glad you're able to be here. I hope folks listened in and got a blessing too. May the Lord bless you today.